Joe Smith.
Where's Greg?
Let's go with Mark Kramer.
Mr. Kramer? Mark Kramer? There's Mr. Kramer. Okay. There he is.
He's hiding behind the pillar.
He's the last one who signed up.
Okay. Mr. Smith, welcome.
The race is not to the strong, neither to the swift, but he who endureth to the end.
Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your patience, all of you.
Appreciate it.
I'm Joe Smith. Once upon a time, I was a district attorney of an Oregon county. And I take pride in having been viewed by the police of my county as a cop's DA. What that meant was when they brought a well-investigated case, they knew we would pursue it. I had an interesting way to know police support because when I ran for a different office, there were a number of them who unsolicitedness contributed to my campaign, and that was a very heartwarming experience. Their support also meant that they knew they could count on my office to treat the public with respect, because successful law enforcement, and there's one thing I learned and deeply believe, successful law enforcement, both in preventing crime, which is its most important task, and in responding to crimes committed, absolutely requires and depends upon community support. Today's hearing demonstrates better than anything I could say that there are real problems with public support in important parts of our community in Portland. This ordinance is a step, a first step, but an important step to address that reality. It recognizes what might be called a natural law. Where performance is measured, performance improves. Simply the act of the measurement tends to improve performance. But to be effective, measurement must be prompt, it must be accurate, it must be dependable, and it must be meaningful. There's a strong sense in much of our community that the current measurement process is not any of those things. This ordinance is a good step in the right direction.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Welcome.
My name is Marcia Myers, and I am representing myself as a citizen and the Real Wealth of Portland, which is a project of the First Unitarian Church. And also, I want to point out that we are part of the Albina Ministry Alliance Coalition, and that is quite a coalition. I've never been in one that is as passionate and is diverse, and I am a full-time activist and a teacher. And I wasn't going to speak, but as a teacher, I had to take this teaching moment and this learning moment that we're all in as a community. The Real Wealth of Portland, as I think you all know, is about making the invisible visible and acknowledging our real wealth, which is relationships, which are relationships among all of us. We're not alone in this, although I want to point out, and this is the teaching part, that we the people was very limited when our Constitution was written and when we the people became the United States of America. Many of us have had to struggle for years and years to be acknowledged as people. This is called a patriarchal society. It was white male landowners. And as you all know through history, we have little by little, not because of the soldier police force or the legal system, become more inclusive, but because we the people have demanded it. As far as who's behind this coalition, this room today was just full of people that weren't just representing themselves, but they were representing many, many organizations and people that have quite often through our history not had a voice. We're in a transformational time. This is an opportunity to make a transformational and a very meaningful step in the right direction by passing this ordinance. It'll give a lot of people hope that haven't had hope. It'll be acknowledging that you're hearing voices that quite often haven't been heard, and that there is something besides the legal system, and there is something besides the good old boy system that's in place here. So I wanted to say these things. I want to commend you all for listening to all of us, and I can't say enough about how important it is to acknowledge the voices you've heard today and acknowledge this very first step in the right direction. It's been long in coming, and it's time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ms. Meyer. Mr. Kramer.
Good afternoon. Last but not least, I hope. I'm a member of the National Lawyers Guild, Portland chapter, also a member of the AMA Coalition. I've been practicing since 1981 and have litigated several cases against the Portland Police Bureau on cases of excessive force and police misconduct. It is my hope that I will never have to file such a case again, and I think Commissioner Leonard's ordinance is a good first step toward that. I would hope that while you're reviewing this, as well as the improvements that have been suggested, you take into account what I think are the preeminent values, which is a credible process, one we just don't have now, a transparent process, which we don't have now, and an effective process, which we don't have now. And secondly, that the effect of the ordinance is to deter police misconduct so that civil rights lawyers can work on other things other than suing the city of Portland. I want to make one clarification and a few brief points of improvement. Mr. Aitchison said he noted two unconstitutional provisions in the ordinance. I see none, but the National Lawyers Guild is at your disposal to assist you and assist the city attorney in addressing Mr. Aitchison's points, whatever they are. Specifically, we have researched the issue of compelling an officer to submit to a subpoena, and so long as it's a condition of employment, that is constitutional. Again, we commit our efforts to assist you on that. With respect to the review, I know that there is an amendment for a stakeholder participation over the next 90 days to look at further improvements in the process. I applaud that. I would hope that the Commissioner Leonard's office acts as a facilitator and convener, but allows the committee or the stakeholder committee to do its work. I think it's critical that this council look at this measure 6 or 9 months from enactment. This is not the 90-day review period. This is to see what's happening in 6 or 9 months, to see if there are kinks in the process, and to see if the values are being implemented. With respect to the guts of the measure, I think to have a credible process for me not to file a lawsuit, for me to tell my clients, you can go through IPR. The police review board needs to have three citizen members, three law enforcement members, and IPR. That would be credible. That would be transparent. That would be effective. With respect to deadly force incidents, right now under the union contract, which I have in front of me, under paragraph 62.1.3, it says the parties recognize IPR has no authority or responsibility relating to deadly force incidents. So in the union contract, which is about to be negotiated, that needs to be changed, as well as the particular ordinance. If you look at Exhibit C, page 4 and page 5, one part of the ordinance says the IPR can initiate investigations of public concern. Another part of the ordinance says we can only hire someone to look at closed investigations. It is critical that IPR have the power to initiate and review deadly force incidents if this measure is to have any credibility. And finally, I would hope that the expeditious investigations portion of that could be clarified so that those investigations don't last forever. Thank you very much.
Sir, do you have written testimony?
I don't, but I will submit to the council the testimony regarding these particular points.
Just the highlights.
Yes.
The points. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. Thank you all for your testimony. It is now 5:10, and for humanitarian reasons, we are going to take a quick 5-minute recess and come back and complete our deliberations here. So we'll see you at, it is now 5:10, we'll see you at 5:15 promptly. We're in recess.
Thank you. City Council, come back from recess.
Okay, thank you. So, Amanda, do you want to move the addition of those groups to this?
Yeah, I know.
All right, the city council will come back from recess.
The names of them?
If Commissioner Seltzman, if you can hear my voice in the building, then you'll know that voice is not just in your head. His chief of staff wonders where he is. Is he on his way? All right. We need a PA system. All right.
Give him a second here.
He's just coming in. We have our attorney back. It's all right. We're actually waiting for Commissioner Saltzman.
All right. I thought I heard the
Dan's used to that when he enters the room.
That's right. That is.
I thought I heard the voice of the Lord. Somebody.
No, just me. All right, City Council, come back to order from recess. And we'll begin council deliberations.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. Commissioner Fritz would like to offer an amendment that I consider a friendly amendment to add a couple more groups onto the oversight work group. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. I move that we add a representative from one each of the Latino network, the Center for Intercultural Organizing, and a Native American representative onto the stakeholder committee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Carl, would you please call the vote on the amendment?
Fritz.
Thank you for adding these important voices. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Mayor Adams.
If I could have a further friendly amendment, the sexual minorities community, but why don't we just grant you the administrative authority to add representatives as you see fit?
Okay. That's excellent.
Okay. Great. So that's my amendment, and we got to do these things officially. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to grant the Commissioner Leonard the administrative authority to make sure that this committee is well representative of the community as a whole, including sexual minorities. I'm not allowed to vote yet. Can you please call the vote, Carla?
Fritz.
We want to make this better and better. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Thank you.
It is important to me that to the extent possible there be unanimity on this ordinance, because I think that for a variety of reasons this council needs to be united around what I would call a brand new road that we're getting ready to trail. As some of you may have observed over the last few years, I don't always get along with everybody as well as I probably could up here, but I try very hard to do that, and I wake up every morning and try to be as positive and as helpful as I can be. I would also say that the current group of commissioners and the mayor that I work with, I have no question about their hearts, their goals, and their aspirations for our community, which reflect the same values that I have. So I believe everybody here supports the, if not every word of this ordinance, absolutely the intent. So it is more important to me that we be on this issue more than any other that I've worked on as united as possible. And in that effort, I want to make sure that, for every member of the council, that every group that they want to make sure has their voice is heard, so that they're comfortable voting for this. And I want to help get us there. So to that end, I want to make sure that the Human Rights Commission has its opportunity to weigh in on this issue. I want to respect that, and I want to support that, because I think that will end up, in the end, leading to a stronger front from this city council as various parts of this ordinance are potentially challenged down the road. So to that end, I am going to move that we continue this hearing to Wednesday, March 31st at 6 p.m., at which time it will be the ordinance will be voted on.
Second.
It's, well, this is, unless there is council objection, this hearing will be continued to the time and date just mentioned by Commissioner Leonard. And before I bang the gavel, we'll have comments from anyone that wants to make them.
And I just want to make sure I clarify one point. Commissioner, the emergency clause would remain on the ordinance, correct?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because the other option would be to remove the emergency clause. We have a first reading tonight. It gets over for a second reading, which is next week. And if we vote on it then, under the laws of the City of Portland, doesn't become effective for 30 days. By leaving the emergency clause on it now and voting on it 2 weeks from tonight, it becomes effective 2 weeks from tonight. So it's still effective a lot quicker than if we did the traditional have a hearing, have a second hearing, and then it's implemented 30 days later. It's implemented 2 weeks from now. I would, in the best of all worlds, have it take effect this evening. But again, we need to be united as we go forward, and I'm willing to support having it voted on 2 weeks from now, because I believe in the long run it'll be better for the community.
Commissioner Fritz.
And to be clear, it's a continued hearing. So I received emails from folks who couldn't be here today, could not take time off work, and want to weigh in on this issue, mostly in support, but they want their opportunity to weigh in. And so it's very important to me to have an evening hearing so that everybody can raise their voices, because I thought the testimony was very compelling. Of course it is. But even more so to hear it from each one of you telling me why it matters to you in your own words and in person. And frankly, I want to hear from more folks about that. And I want Chief Sizer to be back and hear in person from folks about that, because it really brings it home. It makes it even more real as to why it matters. And so I am going to need to ask the Human Rights Commission to convene before the regularly scheduled meeting. I had previously been hoping to have the next hearing in April in response to the testimony of the urgency of this matter. I support the request from Commissioner Leonard to have it in just 2 weeks, and I'm confident that the volunteers on the Human Rights Commission will put in yet more time to get their recommendation to me as the commissioner liaison to that independent body.
Commissioner Fish?
Mayor, as someone who practiced civil rights law for over 20 years before he had the honor of being elected to this body, it was central to my work that we assured that everybody in every proceeding received the same process. And since most of my clients did not have the power, it was especially important that people without power receive the same process as people with power. I believe that what Commissioner Leonard has proposed is an act of statesmanship to bring the council together, as I have no doubt it will be brought, to come behind this reform package, which I support, and to speak with one voice. And I would say to my friends who have very eloquently testified tonight about the fierce urgency of the now and a need to act with dispatch, that please do not confuse the efforts of a council to maintain good process and order with a lack of resolve or a disrespect about the issue. I, frankly, have never been prouder of my colleague and appreciate, again, the statesmanlike motion that he has made, because I know that he is among all those up here, the most committed to having this matter resolved this evening. But I believe that the additional 2 weeks and the chance for more voices to be heard will not only bring the council together around this, but will ensure that this work is even stronger. So I thank my friend Randy Leonard, and I thank the auditor for the extraordinary work they have done together to bring this matter to us. And I look forward to joining with them in 2 weeks to finish the task.
All right. So unless there are objections, the hearing is continued. We are adjourned. Hey, Pastor.
The power of the senior again wins.
You got it. Pastor, how are you?
Take us for your
talent show.
Yes, sir. All right.
Thank you.